All things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three books setting out to make Super Coach history. So many things that we cannot wait to see. When do we get onto the source? Perhaps a Tui's or some bubbles? Or is it Miller time to celebrate our players' double-double? Party with bangers and some rock by DJ Mitchell. Is he a lock? The Kings can bring the chips like Jonah Bolden brought the dips. Will we get Albridge quick or at least very soon? We think it's Taron Armstrong that is going to the moon. How do we read our next stars? Are you superstitious? Impressive, Johnson Alex. The competition's Rips the Vicious. Robert said no Franks, so they got Franklin instead. They signed some wily veterans. Do they get over the humps ahead? The finalists have been all action with Vin Diesel and Denzel. Couldn't beat them, so they went Cheatham, who's fast and furious as well. Can't have a pair of Sams, but can they fill Pinder's shoes? And can we pair some Jordans when Crawford's small and Hunter's huge? Will Cummings hit a shot? JLA has hurt his wrist. With no AC, does Kel run hot? And is Huck Porty worth the risk? And Adams is back with his family. Let's usher in a new era of fantasy. G'day listeners, you're back with Benny, Banksy and Boydy, the basketball blokes, drilling all things Aussie hoops and NBL Supercoach. And here we are, NBL Blitz Nightcaps Gold Coast Edition, Game Day 3, Game 2, Sydney versus Sam. Banksy, have you got some scores for us?
I do. It was a bit of an upset, wasn't it? Sam Phoenix got up 93 to Sydney 86. They came late. Sydney, I think, were up a good 19 or 20 halfway through the game. But, some streaky shooting from Gary got Sam over the top.
Good to see some heart in the heartland, that is for sure. First thing we like to do when we're setting the scene for these Blitz nightcaps is to go through the players that weren't there, very relevant for the later player discussion. And on the Gold Coast theme, we start with players that are under maintenance, because we've all been to the Gold Coast where we've gone to go for a ride and it has been under maintenance. Boydie, as our local doctor, there's a long list of players that we're missing tonight.
There is. Sam's list was long to begin with their first game the other night, but obviously, so they have Alan Big Sauce Williams, medium to long term with his knee. Gojok Gak and Matt Kenyon are both out for the entire Blitz as well. Creek's been a game-time decision, but he's missed both their first games. And tonight, Craig Moller was rested as well to add to that. So lots of key guys missing there from Sam Phoenix. And Sydney are kind of the same. They've got the big names. DJ Hoge will miss the majority, the remainder of the Blitz with a shoulder injury. And then Jalen Adams missed tonight with an illness as well. They're the two of the bigger names. And Sam Simmons also missed with a calf. And Jackson McCoy is long-term injured as well. So quite a few out for both teams.
Yes, but there were still some good players for the Sydney Kings. And that's where we'll go for our first topic.
I said, let me take Mark of the Century first. Went back, absolutely killed Chris Langford. Kicked 4 or 5, got best player and lost by 98 points. But that was irrelevant.
Look, preseason is all irrelevant, but it still does make me chuckle every time I hear the Kappa, who was, of course, an ex-AFL footballer and a famous Gold Coast resident. And we use this one to discuss the best player on a losing team. And I've got this one, and it was Galloway. And I'm just going to play a special little clip here as well. I have been called a Froling lover, but I've moved on to the Galloways now. I like them both.
Yes, you are.
A lot. So this was from last night. Now, this is what I want to say. If you are listening to this, this has just come up on your first podcast in your feed. You should go back to game one. We're at currently day three. It would be great. You can go back and listen to all of these podcasts. We suggest you go back to day one and listen through, and we can give our thoughts as the season, as the competition progresses. So Galloway top scored for the Kings with 38 Supercoach points, was amazing in that first quarter. He had 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and about 5 dunks in the first 10 minutes of that game. Importantly, got the start, and that's something we're going to discuss a little bit further on. But I want to take you back. Some of the stories I tell on this podcast are about a former Gold Coast trip, but I want to talk about our Sydney trip from last year when we were lucky enough to go to to Sydney and get some nice little tickets. And we had a discussion with someone who would know. And internally at the Kings, there was discussion that Kyren was the most NBA, maybe not ready, but as far as a prospect.
Ceiling.
As yep. a ceiling.
Yep.
Of all the Kings, including Xavier Cooks, he was the man nominated based on a discussion we had. Both of you blokes watched this game tonight. What did you think of Galloway?
Yeah, I like the look of him. Definitely took advantage of his starting position, starting spot, sorry, with, you know, obviously the key guys out, as I mentioned. And I think he just went with it. And he played big minutes in the first quarter and took advantage. He seemed kind of almost unstoppable there against... Very often he was matched up against the Sam Phoenix guards, who are significantly smaller than him. And I think he used that to his advantage a fair bit.
Yeah, I saw him blow by Fiba Ruben Tarangi as well, which was very impressive. But I did give Boydie a sneak peek of one of my earlier teams a while back, and Galloway was in that. He has since moved from my team, but is he at all in consideration, at least in the mix, for you now, Banksy, having watched him?
I definitely had a little play with it a bit earlier just to see what that did look like. So he's 123K, a little bit of an awkward price for my structure, 4% owned. But yeah, he was extremely explosive. He brought a bit of an excitement to the game, which was a little bit stop-start in that first half. I know Boardy highlighted there's just way too many free throws for my liking. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Definitely would like to see once Hoag's in that team what the minutes actually look like. But yeah, one to definitely be excited about.
Someone else to be excited about is your next category, Banksy.
Yes, and that would be the bolter of the night. And we're really talking a bolter here. I can't believe, I just looked it up before we started the podcast. He's only 5% owned. But when we talk Bolter Brewing, one of our go-to refreshments, one of my favourites, of course, which originated in the Gold Coast. But our bolter of the night was Tyler Cook. 48 Supercoach points off the back of his 39 in the first Blitz game against the JJs. And that 48 Supercoach points, he missed the double-double by one rebound as well. This time up against Hunter. He finished with 29 points, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, and a block right at the end there. I thought he was extremely impressive. He played a long duration, which was of note, with 4 fouls. Managed to keep himself... from fouling out, which was nice to see he can do that. Always a worry. But yeah, really nice battle he had against Hunter at times there where they were going back and forth, scoring end to end in the third quarter there. That was great to see. Would definitely like to see him with Creek in the team. Obviously, the two games we've seen so far, Creek's been missing with that calf. But it also, it almost felt like tonight we're going to be getting like a discounted Source. We're going to get the Source model, if you like, but at a discounted price. But I don't know, watching him tonight, it almost felt like he's just trying to push his way into captain's contention for round one with the double that they start with. And the dual positioning, I had a play with my structure, the dual positioning is really handy where you can flick, say, Saar and Cook between the forward and the centre positions as well. That's also really handy.
Interesting talk. We could have Captain Cook for round one again, same as last season. He was in my side prior tonight. He's going to be very hard to take out of that side, so we may not even see Creek in the Blitz. So hopefully we do, and we can see how they play together. I think they will play fairly well together. Is he in your lineup there, Boydy?
Oh, at the moment, how could you not have him in there? They've only got one game left, Sem, in the Blitz, so might not see Creek. Maybe, as I said, he's been game time decisions, but it'd be nice to see him there. But I think they're kind of compatible, I think, with the way they play. As I said, after their first game, the worry for me maybe is he's a little bit smaller than some of the fives and could get out-muscled, etc. Maybe not out-muscled, but maybe just lengthwise. And fouls could be an issue. He had 4 fairly early tonight and had to sort of take it a little bit easier in the second half, so to speak. But I mean, he kept them within distance of the Kings. Kings looked like they were just going to run away with it in the first half. And Cook was probably the only one from Sem that actually kept them in the game in that first half. And then until what happened in the third, which I'm going to talk about later on.
And some of his dunks are explosive as well. You're talking about him being undersized. They mentioned it on the commentary, and just looked it up as well. He's listed at 116 kegs, if you don't mind. So we see, obviously, with Sauce and Creek last season, there was no issues with Sauce, obviously, scoring fantasy-wise. So I don't think we're going to have any issues once Creek's in this team either.
Beautiful. He only got 9 rebounds. Someone who got a little bit more is a new category for the night.
That's right. This one is, we're calling the Claw, which is obviously a ride at Dreamworld on the Gold Coast, but it's also one of Kawhi Leonard's nicknames. So we use this one, the Claw, to discuss a player that has lots of rebounds or steals. And in tonight's game, there was someone that had 11 rebounds, and it's not one of the bigs who you thought it might be. It was actually Denzel Valentine from Sydney. 11 rebounds, and with that, you're probably thinking he would have had a monster Supercoach score. But it wasn't quite monster. It was 32 Supercoach points tonight, and although that's respectable, when I tell you this next little factoid, you'll probably be a little bit more amazed, boys. He had 8 turnovers tonight. So 16 Supercoach points went begging. What was that?
Almost a triple-double.
Yeah, almost a triple-double, not the one you want there. So obviously his score could have been much bigger. And he's really shaping up to me tonight because he had, what do you have, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and also a block. He was everywhere in just under 30 minutes. So look, I think he has to be in your on your list to bring in for that round 2. And if you've got some flexibility in your side, if you've got some cheapies in there and you want to make it work, Denzel's sitting there on your bench ready to go for round 2. Looks mighty delicious for me. I'm going to go with something a bit controversial here too, guys. I think he's the only king I can have at the moment.
Okay. Well, we've got a few more to talk about, but he was the number one trade target. We're going to do a cheat sheet later on for our Patreon supporters, and in that we always have our top imports. We may even get time to do a podcast about our top imports, and for me, he's in contention for number one. But if, look, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure he averaged close to 8 rebounds in the G League last season. This is what he does.
Yep.
He gets those boards. He's a genuine double-double threat at your guard forward position, genuinely listed as a shooting guard on Pro Bowlers and etc. So definitely one in the mix. So who do we have next? This is mine. So this is the Gold Coast Rollers category. The Gold Coast Rollers, if you didn't know, were the inaugural Gold Coast NBL franchise, and we use this to discuss roles. And I want to expand on my Galloway discussion from earlier. Tonight, well, actually, coming into this, this is one of the biggest questions I think we discussed in a pre-Blitz podcast, is who's going to get that starting spot. I had Galloway, Glover, and Tui in contention. Obviously, we had tonight Galloway and Tui start. Hogue to come back, being the notable absence, and obviously Bruce started for Adams, who was out. But well, if we already discussed Galloway, Tui was also really, really good. Scored 26 Supercoach points from his 24 minutes of play, with grand final hero Angus Glover having a bit of foul trouble, but still only playing the 14 minutes. So will that continue? It's still on my watch list to see. I mean, I think that these two boys have got the, as in Galloway and Glover, have got the starter and sixth man tied up at the moment. Galloway and Tui, sorry. I really honestly thought Glover would be the one to start, so it's completely flipped on my initial expectation. So how do you guys see it playing out, or is it, does it matter, or is this why, is Bordy, perhaps to elaborate on your earlier comment, is everyone going to play?
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm thinking that way, with only maybe Valentine as my only king. I think at present they're just too deep. They've just got players everywhere. And, like, throw that team in today, plus Adams and Hogue, like, there's just names everywhere that you can put, and you'd in any other teams, you'd have them in your Supercoach team, no worries, I reckon. But They're just too deep. There's going to be one guy popping up, a different guy popping up every game. And if you can pick that for that game, then good luck to you. But, you know, like tonight's game was Galloway. I don't think he scores 38 Supercoach points every game. You know, I don't think he scores 30 or maybe even 25. He might pop up every now and then for one of those games. But then there's going to be a game when Glover does that or Tui does that or, you know, someone else. So I'm just a bit worried about how much depth they have.
I don't think any of them averages 15, to be honest. As exciting as it was to see them get opportunity tonight, like you said, there's that possibility they share the load across the squad that they have. But I think once those big names come in, I don't think those minutes are going to be shared like a JJ's, for example. I think Adams and Hogue are going to be, along with Valentine, the go-to shooters there. So, yeah, those scores are heavily, obviously, inflated tonight, missing their two number two, you know, top two scorers as such.
Yep.
Arguably the two best players in the competition, to be honest. But is there someone else, Banksy, that is worth consideration from the Kings?
There is, and we're going to go with Tower of Terror, of course, another ride at Dreamworld. This is where we're going to discuss a centre-eligible player we are or we were worried about. Now, maybe not a lot in this basket. I know he's been in contention for your squad, Benny, but I've had Geordie Hunter sitting at my backup centre position since the game opened. I just think he pairs really well with Huck Porteous, two undervalued centres there that I'm going to get value out of and that I wouldn't have to worry about wasting a trade on the position for a number of rounds in. Now, we were worried about the reports of DJ Hogue with that small ball five lineup they have been rumoured to be going with. And obviously Hogue was out, so there's still a concern that's going to linger there. But Geordie, 133K, 5% owned. He finished with 20 Supercoach points. Not too worried about the points. It was more the eye test for me tonight and the minutes. Finished with 9 points, 5 boards, 4 assists. I did really like his court vision, to be honest. So when they talk about small ball, I think he can still be that big man that defends well at the rim, but can also be used as a passing big man as well. I thought he could have had more assists, to be honest. There was a couple of times where he hit someone under the rim and there was a couple of misses there. So I feel his assist tally could have been a bit higher. I still think he's going to outscore his starting price just based on what we saw tonight. Played at times with Bolden on the court as well. Okay, so there was also concerns around the battle for the centre role when they do start with a big man. So both of them were playing on the court at times as well. So it's still an interesting watch from here. But yeah, he did enough to hold his spot at my centre bench position for now.
Same for me. You got any concerns, Boydie? Just what you've raised already?
Yeah, I'm not really sold on him yet. I did like it, and I did like a few of the things that Banksy mentioned, especially that passing. There was a couple of times where he was basically at the top of the key and was almost like the point centre.
I like that they ran plays for him a little bit, ran the ball through him at least.
So, not yet. I mean, this is the first game. I'm not saying no definitely yet, but hasn't kind of sold me just yet on it. But he's still definitely on my watch list because he's, as Banksy was saying, a nicer cheap sort of possibly undervalued pick there.
So there was no steals or blocks, which is noteworthy as well. So if he could have added a couple of steals and a block in there, he could have had a better score.
I'm thinking that 20 Supercoach points is my score that I can be happy with starting a value player at. So hopefully we can... That's what I'm hoping for from Geordie throughout the season. This next player will be... did something tonight that us as Phoenix fans would be hoping he does a little bit more of.
Gold Coast Blaze now with a 6-point lead. Skips it over to Jason Kadee. That count. Golden goes upstairs again.
Of course, the Blaze were a former Gold Coast NBL franchise. Will we have another Gold Coast NBL franchise one day? Who knows? We use this category to discuss a player that was on fire. And tonight, we're going to go with Gary Brown from Sem Phoenix. Started off a little quieter, but then in that third quarter, just caught absolute fire with 17 points within the quarter. He finished up with 26 points, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Good for 34 Supercoach points for the game. That included 6 from 11 3-points for the game. So nice shooting there. I've noted here, interesting that Cummings, you know, his backcourt running mate, only had the 16 Supercoach points tonight after his 31 Supercoach points in their first game, when Gary only had 16 Supercoach points. So, you know, can these guys score well together? Are we going to get a situation where both of them are scoring, you know, 30-odd Supercoach points in the single game? Or are we, is it always going to be one or the other? That's the big question mark, I think, at the moment. Although Cummings did have a little bit of foul trouble a bit early in the game, so he was probably a bit nulled there. But, yeah, what did you guys think of Gary?
Oh, it was fun when he did catch fire, and that was the, they mentioned on the commentary, Coach Mitchell discussed that he did not shoot the three ball well last year, earlier in the preseason, the marketplace round table that they were on. Look, he is someone that in one of my structures I can pay up for at the guard spot, and it's kind of that, the guard starters, if you want, as if you're looking for an alternative to Cotton, he's one. But yep. At the moment, I think I'm just paying up for Bryce. But you got any thoughts, Banks? Has Gary Brown been in your side at all this season?
He was early. And yes, he was the reason they won tonight. He did absolutely catch fire. But the worry is Cummings there. And the worry for me, to be honest with you, is when Creek returns. I think he's going to take shots off those guys. And I kind of want to try and start with everyone entering my squad in round one that I feel is of some value. And I just don't think Gary Brown's going to increase in price. I can actually see him declining in price a little bit.
That's right. He's a little bit more expensive than the new imports coming in. I think he's 325.5K, something along those lines. So a little bit more pricey than the new imports of 277K, just to keep in mind there. But I think that
you can play there's guards that are cheaper. You can be playing, you know, Dally, you can be playing Travers at the guard spot. So he's in competition with guys that I feel can provide the same output for a bit of a cheaper price.
I think you are 100% correct there, Banksy. Wraps us up for the Sem v Sydney game of the Blitz, day three. As always, you can find us on Twitter, or X, sorry, at bball_blokes, on Facebook, Basketball Blokes, and www.basketballblokes for all the live Supercoach scoring during the NBL Blitz games. That's right, live scoring. Check us out. Thanks for listening.
G'day there. It's Zach, also known as the Fez, coach of the Fez Monkeys. I got to say, the best part of being a Patreon supporter is the ever-so-helpful Basketball Blokes community. Whether it be team advice, injury news, or Boydie's gifts, the Discord chat has it covered. Also, quite handy for those pesky last-minute player withdrawals.
Hey guys, Denham Melrose here, coach of OK Then. And my favourite part about being a Patreon with the Basketball Blokes is all the data and stats they send through. It's worth far more than they charge, and it couldn't be more handy.
Hi everybody, my name's Ruby, and I'm the coach of the McValentines. My favourite thing about being a Patreon supporter is the pre-season cheat sheet and knowing that I'm going to get my team off to the best start, and the Discord chat where everyone helps me see sense after I get a little trade wild.
Hey, I'm Watto and I'm the coach of the Coogee Hornets. If you want to get all the stats, have some great banter with all those like-minded fantasy individuals, make sure you get on board with the Basketball Blokes and become a Patreon.